Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome those of you who have arrived in person, and we welcome you who are watching online. We appreciate you as well. This morning, I hope that you're ready to worship the Lord. I don't know what your weekend has been like or your morning has been like, but the Lord is present, and we're ready to worship Him. So let's focus on Him, and let's say the Lord's Prayer together as we begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this chance to worship you in freedom. Lord, may we not take our freedoms for granted. May we live them out, Lord, though not with a too great of a sense of liberty, but also with a sense of discipline and self-control, with a sense of love for others as you have shown us. So help us as we live out this journey to keep you first, and one of the ways we do that is to gather on the first day of the week. So we ask that you'll help us, Lord, to worship you, that in these moments you will reveal yourself to us, that we will make your praise as glorious as we can, and that together we will see your kingdom come. So bless those who are here. Move in every part of the service, whether we're singing, praying, giving in the offering, listening, responding with our lives. May it all glorify you and bring a smile to your face. And it's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. Amen. You may be seated. This time we're going to go to prayer. We want to remember those with physical needs. It's great to have Joy with us today, but continue to pray for her. Continue to pray for the Winandy family. Linda's father, Dean, has completed his cancer treatments, so we got to ring the bell and celebrate this week. Her daughter, Katie, has a procedure coming up on December 3rd for her heart, so be praying for her. It's a cardiac ablation. So keep these in mind, but let's pray for our nation, our world, and for our discipleship, that we will be faithful in trying times. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you so aware of your love for us and your mercy toward us in Jesus. Lord, you saw our need. You saw how hopeless we were, and you reached down in love in the most incredible way. Jesus became a man. He walked among us. He taught us. He loved deeply. And he laid down his life on the cross so that we might know forgiveness. And you raised him from the dead victorious over sin, death, and hell. And he offers us new life. And he appeared to his followers and then ascended into heaven again. And then the Holy Spirit came and filled the early church and empowered them to show that love everywhere around the world. Because of all of that, we know about Jesus. Because generations have been faithful, because someone loved us and cared about us enough to share who Jesus is, we know his love this morning. And our hearts indeed well up with thanksgiving. And so, Father, as we're worshiping you today, you deserve our best. I pray that we hold nothing back in lifting you up today. And, Father, we give thanks for the way you've touched the lives of people that we know and care about, and we're grateful for healing that's happened. But we pray for those with upcoming procedures. We pray for those with other symptoms and things going on, maybe even this morning. We just ask you'll touch bodies and renew health. Father, we pray today also that you'll enable us to become the people who can be a healing presence in our world. Everyone's dealing with a lot right now. The virus just won't go away. There are concerns about the future of our country and which direction we should go. Big decisions are being made that affect all of us, Lord, but help us to keep our focus that you are on the throne. That you are Lord of all, and you are Lord of our lives, and you are the good shepherd who provides for our needs. We need not worry. We need not live with anxiety. We need not fear the future, because we know you hold the future. So help us to live faithfully, that whatever comes, you will be with us. And above all, we will be faithful to show the love of Jesus everywhere. So bless us, Lord. Bless the offering that it might meet the needs of this ministry, that we could continue to bless those around us. And bless the way we receive your word today, that we would be faithful followers of Jesus. And we pray this all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. All right, so we hope that you will continue to give faithfully. We appreciate that. There are many ways to give. You can give before you go in the plates at the back. You can also go online to fairmeadowchurch.org and click Give Today. And several of you do that, and we appreciate that, especially those of you watching online. You can give on Facebook using the donate button, or you can mail it in. However you can do that, your faithful giving helps us. Thankfully, we did get the new heating and air conditioning unit on top of the building. If you look up as you leave, it's big and shiny. You can see it up there. We're grateful for that, but the bills keep coming. So continue to give faithfully and sacrificially, and we appreciate that. All right, at this time, let's draw our attention to God's Word. Today, I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, So let's stand in honor of God's word. So be the second in my brief series here on our thought life and all that Scripture has to say to us about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3. Open your heart to God's word. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You may be seated. So, as he is writing to the church at Corinth, Paul is countering ideas that are present in the church there, and present in the world, and present in the culture. And what we realize when we think it through and think about it all is that in every version of the world, God's authority has been resisted. I'm going to say that again. In every version of the world, God's authority has been resisted. Whether it was clear back in the garden, whether it was in the human beings that began to spread out across the earth, whether it was Abram in his attempts to try to know God, whether it was the nation of Israel, or all the way down through the New Testament era, even to our world today, people resist God's authority. People want to debate about what they think is right or wrong, right? Everybody has an opinion about what should be or what is. But Scripture doesn't really present it that way. Scripture doesn't say, well, 64% of people believe it's this, therefore it's right. Or you think it's this, therefore since you're always right, that's the right answer. That's not how the Bible talks about it. It doesn't say these guys are right and these guys are wrong. It says thou shalt and thou shalt not. Amen? This put Paul in a challenging position as a leader in the early church. Even as people were coming to faith in Jesus, they were continually bringing with them the baggage of life before Jesus. And even Paul was affected by his Pharisee past that I'm sure drifted in to his thinking in the flesh. So all kinds of ideas were bouncing around people's minds, maybe even Paul's mind at times. So how does he filter through that? How does he give guidance to the church? Because they have to go on living. They have to move forward now that they know Jesus. Well, what does he do? He goes back to square one, the foundation of it all. Back in verse 5, he said, we demolish arguments, and let's read this together. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So he examined his own thinking, and he examined everyone's thinking in light of two things. Number one, that God does exist and cares for us, and we can know God. Amen? We shouldn't allow thinking to take root in our minds that forgets that God is there and cares about us, and we can know God. Number two, that Jesus is God's Son, our Messiah, our Savior, and our Lord, and he is our way to God, right? So we shouldn't allow thoughts to drift into our mind and take hold that would challenge these two core realities. So he pictures it like a great battle, ideas coming in, but those not aligned with these two great truths are in fact demolished. Right? I mean, picture whatever action film you need to there. He's exploding and blowing up all the bad ideas as they arrive. Another one bites the dust. Now, Paul is careful here. He's not demolishing the people who have these arguments, all right? Notice that he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, hey, we get rid of all the folks that have the wrong ideas. God forbid. He's loving people. He's leading people. In fact, even himself, he's trying to grow in his knowledge and understanding of God and his experience of God and in his faithfulness to God. But we love each other, but just because we love someone doesn't mean that their ideas align with Scripture. Even some of our own ideas may have to go as we continue to reflect and grow. If we always hit the panic button in our lives, we're forgetting that God is real and loving and active in our lives. We don't need to panic. I've actually heard it said just as sort of a wise saying, and I may have even repeated this early on in my ministry, God forbid. But I've heard it said, trust like it all depends on God, and work like it all depends on us. And I used to think, yeah, that sounds good. We got all the bases covered. But now I realize that that's flawed thinking. If we work as if it all depends on us, we could end up working against the first part of that phrase, which is that it all depends on God. Amen? If we just go around and try to figure it out on our own, then we're going to be missing what God is up to. So it's a mixing of human wisdom and clear doctrine. And this is often going on when we find ourselves confused or in conflict. So think about this. We are to get in sync with God's way of thinking, with God's way of working. And that begins with always remembering that God is at work in our circumstances. So, anybody ever have anything unexpected happen around their household? Does that ever take place? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Any ever unexpected? Refrigerator goes out, car stops working, lose your job, health issue that arises. All right, well, when crisis comes, a lot of times it has a dollar sign attached to it, right? Well, do you grab your credit card to rescue you every time? Do you go into debt immediately when an unexpected expense arrives? Is that remembering that God is at work? What if you paused and you prayed about it first? Do I actually have to replace this item at all? See what God says. Do I have to replace it right now, today? Well, I wouldn't be so panicked. I wouldn't have to worry about it if I did. But do you actually have to replace it right now, today? After you get answers to those questions, then ask, what is God's plan for paying for it? And take a little time to get it right. Just a simple everyday example. Another very similar one. I used to pay all my bills as early as possible. There was a time when I had too many bills and I couldn't keep them paid hardly at all. And then when I got ahead, I used to pay all of them as early as possible, first day possible. But then I ran into a few situations where it got credited to the wrong month. So it was like two payments last month, didn't make the payment this month, even though I made the payment, right? Ah, that was frustrating. Then one time with my water bill, I paid it so early, they lost track of it. They were waiting till all the checks were in to deposit them together, and they lost the check, and it was like we didn't pay the bill. So that wasn't working well to pay so early. And then occasionally I was running into the problem that right when I wanted to pay the bill, I didn't have the money on hand. So I would panic. What will I do? I can't pay it right now. I'm afraid I'll forget. Well, then I realized God provides for our needs, but not always way ahead of time. Anybody else learn that lesson? So I figured out with each bill, the best time to pay it so it will post at the right time, and I'll be most likely to have the funds available to pay it. Took a while, but I developed a system that works. And I believe the reason it worked is because I was giving God time to provide while also being responsible. But I had to change my thinking. I wanted to just reduce my anxiety by being able to check it off as soon as I saw the bill. No system is perfect, but the worst system of dealing with your finances is worrying all the time and getting anxious and not leaving room for God to provide. Amen? So never, never forget that God exists. Never forget that God stands ready to help us with our needs, and try to get in sync with what God is doing. And never forget that every area of our life can be submitted to his plan. Paul says literally, every thought can be brought under Christ's authority. Are you able to live with that kind of peace and trust? Well, this takes time. And Paul is saying that he takes the time and he puts in the effort to do what lines up with God. Whether it's a thought that keeps bouncing around our heads, or some advice from a friend, or a plan of action we're considering, make sure that it lines up with God's will. Ephesians 5 guides us this way. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make the most of every opportunity, he said. The other day, we were in Sunday school, and Chester said, I'd rather fail 5 times for the Lord than be victorious for the devil. Do you remember saying that, Chester? That was a good saying. To me, this relates here because we have to try in order to fail, right? And some of us just think, well, if I try, I'll fail, so I'm just not going to try. Are we really making things better? Making the most of every opportunity means you don't kick a field goal when you need 7 points to win and there's 1 minute left. You go for it in life. You try your best to make the winning play. And if you fall short, at least there are no regrets. You know you tried to make the right play. Sometimes God asks us to go for it without delay. Now is the moment. He will be urging you. You'll see it 3 or 4 times in your mind and heart. And God says, go, and we go. Sometimes God asks us to hold on, to keep our nerve, to wait for the right moment, to trust and wait. When it comes to our daily thought life, we can make some various kinds of choices. When the thoughts pass through our minds like, you're worthless, you're nothing, God isn't real, nobody cares, it's not worth it, all kinds of dark thoughts are going to be hurled our way sometimes or dredged up by our subconscious mind due to past struggles. But when those thoughts come, you have a choice. You don't have to welcome them into the living room of your life. You don't have to make sure they're comfortable for their lengthy stay. You can say no. You don't have to do their bidding. You don't have to believe these lies, these terrible thoughts. In fact, Paul says you can demolish these bad ideas with better ones. Amen? God loves me. God cares. I can do all the things I need to do through him who gives me strength. It's always worth it. And lots of people still care, and some of them even care for me. Remember these kinds of thoughts when the struggles come, because they're always true for any believer. Thanks be to God. So this morning, are you demolishing those bad ideas? Are you knocking them off before they get even close to do harm? Are you holding every thought captive to Christ? Well, here are some basic tips that I would offer this morning. Number one, when it comes to your thought life, slow it down. Slow it down. So pray out loud when you're very concerned about something, if you can. Or write out your prayers so you can see for yourself what you're really thinking. Otherwise, your mind is racing so fast, you may not even be aware of the bad ideas that are getting in. Talk it out with your pastor. Interesting idea. Or find another believer that you trust. Because once we slow down the process, things seem less desperate. Because we've slowed down our minds and we remember the things that are true. So it's always good to slow it down in the moment. Number two, take control of your thought life. Now, by this, I don't mean try to wrestle the reins away from God. No way, don't try that. But do take control of what you allow to sink deeply into your mind. Don't let yourself get carried away thinking bad thoughts. Train yourself to think good thoughts. This is every thought captive. No leaks that you know of. Be disciplined. Take control of your thought life. And then Philippians 4 says the following. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So number three, I would say be proactive. When you wake up in the morning, don't reach for your phone unless you're going to read your Bible there. Ignore all notifications. Talk to God and hear from God first. Remind yourself of truth first before you let the day come at you full speed. Are you tracking with me so far? These are good tips. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, so if you have been raised with Christ, and if you're a believer who's been baptized, you have, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So remember your hope and set your mind on things above. Be proactive. Going back to Ephesians 5, verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So number four is give thanks. That rounds things off. And if you're not sure what to be thinking, you can always be remembering the things God has done. It helps you not take for granted or slip back down into stinking thinking when you're giving thanks to God. It's simple. Give God thanks for all the things he's currently doing in your life. The ones you're aware of, and even the ones you aren't yet aware of, still give thanks for them and believe it. Believe that God is working in your life right now, today. I've seen it firsthand in my own life and in your lives. I've seen it. I've seen God work. I know that God can win this battle in your minds if you are in it with him. So, to review, let's read these together. Slow it down, right? Take control. Be proactive. Give thanks. This is a formula to help you every day keep your mind going in the right direction. If you're here today, realize you're not alone. If you're watching online, realize you're still a vital part of things. I just heard from Deborah this week, who watches online, and she's looking to join us in person as soon as her schedule allows. Deborah, we count you as one of us today. But for everyone, we will win this battle if we follow his game plan, and together we can do it. So get plugged into Sunday school, which meets right after church. Get into a Bible study or a small group where you know others and you are known, and you'll see the daily difference that this makes. TLC is a group we have. It meets Tuesdays at 3 p.m. here in the library at church. I do 2 online Bible studies, and I'm looking to start a new one for those interested, so let me know. And let's make the most of every opportunity that we have to learn and grow and be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the days are evil. Amen? And here's the thing. Here's a reason why it matters, even if it doesn't feel like it matters to you in a given moment. Winning this victory will help us to help others win this victory. Because as hard as it is for you, there's somebody else you know who needs this help and this guidance. And if you can gain experience with it and get a good track record with it, then you can help them as well. It's so important because so much is at stake for all of us. Let's pray. Father, you love these people more than I can imagine or describe for them. And Lord, they know it because you have actively loved them already. So just do what you always do, Lord. Just come to them now and remind each of us this morning, remind me that you love me, that you're for me, that you're at work in everything that's going on. And Father, help us. Help us not to make room for thoughts that fall short of your glory. And help us to be proactive and to focus on the things we know to be true, the things that are forever and always true, uplifting things that turn our gaze toward you. And then, Father, help us to give thanks in the midst of all these circumstances. We can be proactive, but in the midst of that, giving thanks just rounds it out and just helps and heals our hearts when we see there's so much good going on and you're doing it. The bad is not going to overwhelm it. So, Father, I thank you for this. I thank you that your blessings are so rich and full. I thank you that your word is so clear that we can win this battle by your grace. This morning, if you struggle with this particularly while we're still praying, and God is nudging you and he shed some light today, and you want to take steps toward taking more control of making every thought captive to Christ, would you just raise your hand? No one looking around. Just raise your hand and take hold of God's help this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you're watching online, reach out for it now. for God will meet you here with his grace. Father, I pray that you will especially bless those who are reaching out for more here, those who want to grow and stretch and do even better to win this victory, to win it well enough to be a blessing to someone else. Father, I thank you that you're already working in our lives and there's so much good news to share. May we have the opportunity, the sacred, blessed opportunity, to share this good news and to mentor someone else into winning this victory. Because, Father, when our minds are focused on all you've given us and all that you're doing, it's amazing the possibilities that open up for our lives. May we not miss a single opportunity for you, because you'll turn evil days into blessed days. You'll turn days that feel like chaos into days of thanksgiving and praise. You'll take things that seemed impossible to deal with, and you'll turn them into powerful victories. I praise you and thank you for that, even in advance, as we all pray this in Jesus' powerful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together.